Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. It is creeping up on 410 here, 80 degrees on this Monday, May 12th, 2025. I told you we have some of our nation's finest serving not only our area here in Scranton, but the nation as well. For this great event coming up, the Northeast Pennsylvania Armed Forces Day Parade, May 17th, 2025. It's a courthouse square. There's a whole morning of events accumulating the Armed Forces Day Parade. And we have two gentlemen in the studio right now. Gentlemen, I'd like you to introduce yourselves, first of all.
Lieutenant Colonel Cliff Morales from the Pennsylvania Army National Guard. We're the 55th Brigade right here in Scranton, Pennsylvania.
All right.
And also from the same unit, Chief Warrant Officer Dan Stella.
All right. So not only our nation's finest, but Scranton's finest as well. So you guys are both on the committee for this great event, this Armed Forces Day. It is a whole day. It's not just a parade. You guys start out with a Heroes of All Kinds 5K?
That is correct. 9 o'clock in the morning, they'll kick off the run right there from Courthouse Square. And that run, they're taking the registration still online, as well as can register day of in the morning. And then we'll move into some awards presentations right there on Courthouse Square afterwards, right into the parade that starts at 11 o'clock.
And for the parade, what are you guys expecting that day? You said looks like you're going to have a really great turnout for the day. Hopefully the weather, I don't have the weather in front of me, but hopefully that looks pretty good so far.
Yeah, we're hoping for good weather. Things we have high school bands coming, like many other parades, and then we're going to have some military equipment, and probably, I don't know about most importantly, but for me probably is the led by the American Legion and the VFWs of the local area.
So from all our heroes from all times there, you know, our VFWs, our American Legions, we have a big listening audience. It's funny, they text in all the time. You know, we got 12 guys, we have 20 guys sitting around the Legion right now listening to the show. Can you talk about this, or thanks for talking about that? Armed Forces Day. And Pennsylvania never disappoints when it comes to supporting our military. A big military town, big military state, you know, as well. Tell us, you know, what you guys are expecting this day.
Rob, that's right. Well, you know, Armed Forces Day, you know, throughout the year we have Veterans Day and we have Memorial Day. But Armed Forces Day, slightly different in that we are honoring soldiers, sailors, and airmen that are currently serving, right? So Memorial Day is about those that have passed, and Veterans Day is about all veterans who have served. But this is the one event where we get this honor and support the veterans, and not just the veterans or the currently serving soldiers, but their families as well.
It brings everybody together. You know, we were talking a little bit before we came on air, and the family connections with military. You know, my two children, you know, my son's military wife, who's home with their kid, who he left, it was 3 months old, now just turned a year old. Families serve as well. Families serve as well, and this is just as much for them as it is for the active duty military personnel.
Absolutely, Rob. You know, the family who stays behind when a soldier deploys takes on a large burden as well, right? That significant other who has double the duties, right? And, you know, not just them, but the grandparents, everybody else who chips in and supports our warfighters.
So this is a great opportunity for people from all over Northeast Pennsylvania to come out to Scranton, the Courthouse Square. And again, Heroes of All Kind 5K at 9 a.m. in the morning, and then the parade starts at 11. How long do you think the parade is going to last this day?
So we start off at Gene O'Merley Veterans Center is where the kickoff point is, and we'll come up to Lackawanna Ave and then come around ending on Courthouse Square. Usually it's about an hour to hour and a half. This year I think we're sitting at about 57 groups that are participating in the parade for us. So we've grown. Last year I think we were at 39. This year we're back at 57. So we're growing the parade as we go.
Yeah, I'm looking now. It looks like 76 degrees. I mean, chance of a shower, but I see some sun there in there. So, you know, perfect day for a parade, I would say. You don't want it too hot. You guys wearing all that gear out there, especially if they're in their dress alphas or something.
Only the lead guys are in the dress outfit. Everybody gets to wear the duty uniform for the marching units. And we do have, for the marching units, the 55th Brigade from Scranton, the Navy Sea Cadets from right down here in Avoca. Hopefully we'll have a little bit of showing from the Marine Corps Reserve that's right down here in 44th. as well as the Navy Reserve that's here in Avoca and the Army Reserve that's in Scranton.
How many people does it take? You guys both said you're part of the committee, and, you know, as true team players, you know, we're just part of a group here. You know, it's a true team event, which it is. Anyone involved in something like this or the military realizes it doesn't matter what your rank is. You know, there's someone who may give the orders, but unless there's that chain of command, unless there's that people to see it through and command master sergeants or command sergeant majors to keep those guidances in line, it doesn't happen. So how many people put this together? How many people are on the committee and actually see this through?
About 20 people that throughout the year participate in different things. And, you know, at our meetings, probably about 15 regulars that show up, and then there's probably another four or five that says, I got this project or I got that project.
And then on parade day itself, just as simple as making sure everybody's lined up, that's probably another 5 to 8 people, just to make sure that, you know, as the parade goes, you just know that everybody's lined up. But getting all those people in the right place at the right time, in the right order.
Support package to put the parade on it the day of.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been in a lot of parades. I was talking about my prior service with the NYPD and such. You know, we marched in the St. Patrick's Day parade in Savannah, Georgia, and that's a big military parade down in Savannah, Georgia, where the girls run out and they have the bright red lipstick and kiss all the battalions from the military on the side. Keeping those enlisted in line is probably like corralling cats. So I can imagine how it is up here in Scranton, just about the same. Again, with the pomp and circumstance of this community and such support for our nation's military.
Oh, we had, you can't believe all the support as COVID kind of stopped a lot of things that went on. This parade has been going on since 1950 when they first brought about Armed Forces Day and brought the services together and said, we're going to have one day to celebrate all of them at the same time, bring out community awareness as well as show off what the capabilities we have out there. So since then, minus a small hiatus from the 70s to the 90s, if you know what happened in the 70s. But it was brought back, and then COVID stopped it for a couple years. And when we brought it back with a celebration on Courthouse Square in 2023, so many people came up and asked us, when's the parade coming back? When's the parade coming back? From vendors, from just people walking up to us on the street. So phenomenal to put it back in place last year, and glad to continue it this year.
Yeah, and from the start at Geno Murley and the end, Courthouse Square, one of the first things that I fell in love with when I moved to this area 21 years ago is that Courthouse Square, that iconic look, and with the Veterans Memorial lawn pretty much there, the whole lawn is taken up for it. It's a perfect place to end it. Any VIPs coming out for this parade?
So the Adjutant General of Pennsylvania will be our parade reviewing officer. So that's General Pippi. He was also a former congressman here in the state of Pennsylvania, and now our 2-star general in charge of us. And then our parade marshal is a 103-year-old World War II veteran. He was actually in Tokyo Bay when they signed the surrender, when Japan surrendered to us. So it's kind of awesome that we have Mr. Libertari, Al Libertari, that's going to be our parade marshal this year.
Wow. Yeah, makes it that much more special. As far as equipment and stuff that you guys are bringing, what type of stuff are you going to have? I mean, vehicle-wise or anything like that. I mean, I don't expect any howitzers down Lackawanna Avenue, but you never know with you guys.
Don't you worry.
You never know with you guys.
Both of us growing up field artillery, we would have loved to have some howitzers in this.
We do have some of our engineer equipment, some of our Humvees, some of our bigger vehicles will be on display in the parade. Toby Hanna, which is one of our largest supporters of all the military across the globe, they provide a lot of that communications equipment used by all the services. They're going to bring some of their equipment to be in the parade as well with us. And overall, just the marching units, some of the parade, it'll be static display on Courthouse Square as well as in the parade for everybody to see.
That was the next thing I was going to ask. Any static display so kids can get up close and see it and talk to the staff that are manning or womaning the facilities you have?
Yep, we do have some of those out there right on Courthouse Square. We'll set up some of our engineer equipment as well as some of our communications equipment. And then each one of the services will have some of their recruiting displays and whatever they can bring with them. We're trying to get one of our local warfighting supporters, Gentex Corporation. Hopefully they'll be setting up their equipment because they make the helmets that protect all of us out there in the field.
Yep, my son wears their helmet.
They're right here in little old Northeast Pennsylvania, right?
Yeah.
It has a big impact on the entire military right here.
Yeah, when he was up before he deployed, he was went into Gentex and says, you know, I'm an F-18 pilot. And they brought him in and showed him. He says, you know, I wear your helmet every day. You know, thank you for it, first of all. And how they accepted him was just phenomenal. How they looked at his CAT card, walked him in, and, you know, took him on a tour of where they make the equipment that he wears each and every day.
Yeah, both of us were in awe recently, along with one or two other people. We got to see the facilities as well, and we were just in awe of where it starts and where it ends and the technology.
The technology advancements are incredible. And even if you look at the different blocks of the F-18, the differences between the Block 1, the Block 2, and now the Block 3, which is almost just as advanced as an F-35, just goes to show that those it might be the same plane look-wise, but it's not by a long point. And I'm sure that's the same for a lot of your equipment that you guys use it day in and day out.
Correct. You're right. It might look like it's something that was a few years old, but we've been able to upgrade our technologies and keep up with the times.
So Scranton has never disappointed when it comes to marathons or such like that. You guys have the Heroes of All Kinds 5K. You said there's still space available for that, right?
Absolutely. Please come out.
Yeah, right up to the day of. They can sign up that morning if they don't. They can get online, search it, you know, online and get the registration. But if they wanted the day of... maybe somebody Friday night talks them in. They're going for a run Saturday morning, and they can show up that morning and sign up.
And I'm looking here. It says check out the website at NEPAArmedForcesParade.com.
Correct. Yes, there is a link to the 5K right on that page as well. Shows some pictures from previous. Shows our registration for anybody who wants to be a participant. And we'll still get you in if somebody wants to be part of our parade, along with the groups that we already have coming. If somebody else wants to go, we'll definitely accept them.
Yeah, so if you're a high school band, if you're an organization that might want to get involved with this, reach out and you guys will make it happen.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
And we do have one of our local bands, North Pocono, is going to kick off the parade. They'll lead out front with the color guard from the 55th Brigade.
All right, I'm going to share this on my social media as well. Again, that's NEPAArmedForcesParade.com. Gentlemen, thank you for both your service. Thank you for... as part of your committee, making sure this event happens. Heroes of All Kind 5K kicking off at 9 a.m., 11 a.m. is the parade. Pretty much happening all day.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much for the support. You know, getting the word out there is key to everything we do. So we appreciate you guys getting the audience to know what's going on.
Anytime. Again, I'll share this on my social media to get the word out there as well. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Talking to those great gentlemen serving our nation. Jake had to pull me back in and says, Rob, you know, you're going back on, right? You're going back on. Great group of good gentlemen. I'm going to be putting the information for this Saturday's Heroes of All Kind 5K in the Armed Forces Day Parade. And again, it's NEPAArmedForcesParade.com. There is a link there to sign up for the 5K race. If not, like they said, you just show up and they'll make sure you get in. And if you're a school, an organization, or anything, or a military organization that wants to get involved with the parade, check it out. This is one of the few times that we can honor everybody, our veterans, those who have served, those currently serving, those here in our National Guard and Reserves that are living everyday lives, but yet still continue to serve our nation on that capacity. And, you know, we're talking to them and, you know, their deployments that they've had and how the past 20 years this nation has leaned more and more on our reserves and our National Guards to do what normally was just active duty military tasks. And it's just not possible with the tempo that's happened since 9/11. So all the respect in the world for these gentlemen here. Again, Northeast Pennsylvania never disappoints. Scranton area never disappoints. Come out this Saturday, May 17th. It's going to start off at the Gino Murley Center and end at Courthouse Square. They're going to have static displays for the children. They're going to have their military equipment out there answering questions. Get up and close and personal. If you're thinking of serving in the military, here's a great time to come up and talk to these men and women who serve each and every day now to get a grasp on what you're in for. If you're in high school and you're graduating in the next couple of weeks, if you've already graduated yet and you're already signed up to go, here's a perfect opportunity to talk to someone from your hometown, someone around you, one of your neighbors that is doing that job already. And say, hey, you know, I'm interested in being an engineer. I'm interested in doing this. I'm interested in being artillery. You know, tell me about it a little bit. Believe me, they will be more than open to describe, you know, what it entails, what's needed, what to do, and, you know, where they're at now to where they've served their military time in active duty. Now they're reserves or National Guard, and they're living, you know, a quasi-civilian life because they are still serving our nation in the military. And like I said, demand for them has increased for the past 20 years. And hopefully it slows down. Hopefully, you know, that's not the direction of the future. But if there is a major conflict, you know, I think it's going to be that and then some. You know, we talk about it all the time. If we get into a conflict with North Korea, Russia, China, you know, I think it will necessitate some sort of draft. And hopefully it never comes to that. But, you know, world's a strange place, huh? It's 4:30 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's the point of the show where we honor our heroes here at home who made the ultimate sacrifice. On this day six, Pennsylvania law enforcement professionals made the ultimate sacrifice, and this is National Police Memorial Week as well, with the 15th being Police Memorial Day. But it started yesterday, so police from all over the nation, all over the world, are now going to Washington, D.C., where the National Police Memorial is held with a candlelight vigil on the National Mall. But for our Pennsylvania law enforcement who made the ultimate sacrifice on this day throughout history, May 12th, we're going to start with Officer George Robert Banfield, Comal Township Police Department in 1984. He was killed when an automobile crash while attempting to stop a speeding vehicle on Moonlit Park Road near Davidsville. He swerved to avoid an oncoming vehicle and struck a tree. Private Joseph Francis McMillan, Pennsylvania State Police in 1959, was killed in an automobile crash when his patrol car struck head-on by a vehicle traveling the wrong way on Route 955 in Harbor Creek Township. Another officer was injured in the accident but survived. Sergeant Timothy George McCarthy, Pennsylvania State Police, in 1931, was shot and killed after he accompanied two other officers to assist the Fulton County Sheriff in serving a custody warrant on a suspect at his home in Brush Creek Township. When Sergeant McCarthy, who was led into the house by the suspect's mother, entered the kitchen, the suspect fired a pistol he had concealed, fatally wounding Sergeant McCarthy. Suspect fled into the upstairs. A second officer who was standing in the door ordered another officer to take the sergeant to the car, but before they could reach the car, Sergeant McCarthy fell to the ground and died. Chief of Police Wilson Luars, Hamburg Borough Police Department of Pennsylvania, 1928, was shot and killed as he and his patrolmen interrupted five men looting the Patterson Silk Plant. The patrolman was hit with two pallets of buckshot on his leg and face, but recovered. Pennsylvania State Police later apprehended four of the suspects. All were convicted of first-degree murder and sentenced to life in prison. Policeman William John Boyd Jr., Philadelphia Police Department in 1920, died after he was kicked during a scuffle with two men been harassing girls at the carnival, the area of 22nd Street and Vine Street. The girls called police, and Officer Boyd and two other officers responded. Two brothers fought the officers and kicked Officer Boyd in the ribs, causing him to suffer fatal internal injuries. Brothers were arrested and charged with murders. Patrolman George H. Shearer, Pittsburgh Bureau Police in 1914, was shot and killed while responding to a large disturbance at a wedding party near the intersection of 2nd Avenue and Vespucus Street. Patrolman Shearer, who was walking his beat, heard the commotion, went to the building and two other officers. Several of the drunken guests attempted to hold the doors shut and prevent patrolmen from entering. However, he was able to force his way in. As he made it to the stop at the top of the stairs, he was shot in the chest with one of the revolvers taken from one of the other officers. Served the Pittsburgh Bureau of Police for 12 years. And those are our six from Pennsylvania. Let me take a phone call real quick now. We have Dave from Scranton. Dave. Dave, you there?
Yeah.
All right, you're on.
Oh, hi. I was wondering. I just was wondering if their lives at that commissioner's thing today down at Lackawanna Knowledge College, that in the auditorium about their reassessment, are they live streaming that? You know, or do you have to go in person?
I do not know if they're live streaming. If the doors open at 5 o'clock, the reassessment town hall with Commissioner Chris Chermak and some experts is today. It's 5:30. Doors open at 5. I do not see if it's being live streamed or not.
Okay.
So you might have to head over there.
I have some clients coming. I want them to get there, but I have clients coming. So.
Yeah. All right. Well maybe if someone could chime in and maybe if you're listening to the station before your clients come in, maybe we can get that answer for you and I'll put it over the air.
Thanks so much.
All right, Dave.
Yeah, God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you. You too. And let me see if I could find out that information, if it will be live streamed. I'm looking at the event now and I don't see if it will or not, but I'm going to see if I can get that answer, and I'll put it out there. I also got a text message says from someone says looks like a brush fire up near Jessup. Well, I was coming in today at 1 o'clock. I drove by and I did see smoke coming from that area. Now the thing is, the game lands are up there, and sometimes, and I didn't see a notice of it, but sometimes the game commission does a controlled burn up there, and I haven't been up on, you know, Moosic Mountain in that area. There's usually signs saying that they are going to have a controlled burn. But I did see the smoke. Now, I don't know if this is a brush fire or not, but a texter saying that it looks like there's smoke coming from that area, and is there a brush fire? At 1 o'clock today, again, I did see the white smoke rising from that general vicinity, and I thought it was either that or a controlled burn. So, you know, hopefully it's not too bad and gets under control. We are expecting some rain tonight and tomorrow, so hopefully that helps control if there is something up there. It is 4:41 here at WILK. Time for 2020 traffic and weather together. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's time for Today in History, because how do we know where we're going unless we remember where we've been? And I am getting word that that burn up near the Archibald area is a controlled burn. So if you see the smoke up there, that's what I'm getting notified that is, which I figured was possibly the case because they do have that up there all the time. So today in history, what do we have today? 1780, Charleston falls to the British. During the American Revolutionary War, Charleston, South Carolina, surrendered to British forces, making one of the war's most significant American defeats. 1933, New Deal agencies established. President Franklin D. Roosevelt signed legislation creating the Federal Emergency Relief Administration, FERA, and the Agricultural Adjustment Administration, AAA, to combat the Great Depression. 1949, Berlin blockade lifted. The Soviet Union ended its 11-month blockade of West Berlin, a pivotal moment in the early Cold War. The U.S. and British airlift had sustained the city during the blockade. Again, that was 1949. 1964, first draft card burning. 12 young men in New York City publicly burned their draft cards to protest the Vietnam War, marking the first such act of resistance. Figures it was New York, right? Some baseball milestones, 1955. Sam Jones, historic no-hitter. Chicago Cubs pitcher Sam Toothpick Jones became the first black pitcher in the Major League Baseball to throw a no-hitter, achieving the feat against the Pittsburgh Pirates. No one tell EJ. 1970, Ernie Banks hit 500th home run. Chicago Cubs legend Ernie Banks hit his 500th career home run, also marking his 1,600th RBI. Some notable birthdays today. What do we have? Katharine Hepburn, 1907. Born in Hartford, Connecticut, Hepburn became one of America's most celebrated actresses, known for her fierce independence and record 4 Academy Awards. Tony Hawk, 1968. I didn't realize he was that old. Born in Carlsbad, California, Hawk revolutionized skateboarding and became a global icon in the sport. Rami Malek, 1981. Born in Los Angeles, California, he gained acclaim for his role as Freddie Mercury in the Bohemian Rhapsody, earning an Academy Award for Best Actor. Now, I know him from that, but if they just told me his name, I wouldn't have known who it was. Let me see here. International Nurses Day. Now, we had National Nurses Day. Now it's International Nurses Day. It's annually on May 12th. This day honors the contributions of nurses worldwide, coincides with the birthday of Florence Nightingale, the founder of modern nursing. And that's pretty much for today in history. So, interesting. I was down in Virginia Beach this past weekend. You know, took Friday off. Had to move my daughter in. Thankfully, the hospital that she was working for, you know, has a relocating process where they have movers come in, pick up all their stuff from where they live and bring it to where they're. So we didn't have to move any boxes. Well, we didn't have to move it up from the truck to in the place, which is good for me and and my back. But we had to unpack everything and put everything together and arrange it and go to the store, you know, 100 times to get things that she needed or didn't have. And then my wife wanted to get her a nice little patio set because she's got this patio that overlooks a pond with a fountain. Real nice area. It's interesting, you know, we're down there and I get a text message. I post a picture of us being down there moving my daughter in. And I get a text from one of my friends who's down there for a wedding and says, hey, we're on the beach at the Embassy Suites, you know, at a wedding. Are you in the area? Yeah, I'm in the wedding. I'm in the area. Well, come on over. And this was towards the evening. But the reception was still going on. I was like, listen, I have shorts and T-shirts. Definitely not wedding attire. Then I get a message from the mother of the groom who was like, you better come here. And I'm like, again, all we have is shorts and T-shirts. We're not, suitable for going out. Where's the after party? You know, maybe we'll meet you there. So we compromised on, okay, we were going to go to the lobby bar and they would come out and meet us. And it was a nice time down there. You know, I did post a picture on social media so you could see who I was with. A 3-time Emmy Award winning actress, by the way. But it was a good time. And listen, we're 7 hours away from home and you never know who you're going to meet. Every time we're down there, you know, we bump into someone else that we know. But it was good. Listen, this is our middle daughter. And, on the way home, it was Mother's Day. We were driving most of Mother's Day because we left at 10 in the morning because I had to come home to cut grass with whatever daylight was left. And believe me, driving 7 hours and then cutting grass for another 2 hours on a tractor is not recommended at all. I highly do not recommend that. But, you know, my wife got a little emotional and says, hey, none of our kids live in Pennsylvania anymore. You know, they're all gone. And she's right. You know, my son lives in Virginia Beach. My middle daughter now lives in Virginia Beach. Our youngest, who's graduating Annapolis next week, within 5 days, I think she reports to Quantico, Virginia. And then she'll live there for 6 months till 2 days before Christmas. Graduate TBS, the basic school as they call it, where she earns her Eagle Globe and Anchor as a Marine officer, and heads down to Pensacola. So, yeah, all our kids are no longer here. Now, being in the military, it's a little different. They still have their address of record, which is Pennsylvania. But, it kind of hit my wife a little bit because I looked at her and I was like, our kids have been gone for 4 years plus. I mean, our daughter was in college and then she's been out in Du Bois, Pennsylvania for the past year. But they've been out of the house. I mean, they come home on weekends. They come home for holidays and such like that. But their rooms are still there. And I'm like, well, if no one still lives here, can we change the rooms into other things? No. Their rooms will always be their rooms. But, you know, I guess she had a point that they are no longer living in Pennsylvania. So that kind of hit her on Mother's Day on the way home. But, that was part of it. And we're going to be here all week this week. Next week is a little heads up. I will be off the week. And then we have Memorial Day weekend the following Monday, so a little over a week, but hopefully you're all doing your own thing Memorial Day weekend as well. But next week we'll be in Annapolis, trying to work on some things to maybe check in and do some things special for you guys here, the listeners, while I'm gone, maybe call in and give away some stuff and see what we can do, but I'm still working on that. Let's see what we can do for you guys. But I'm trying. Don't think I'm not. Thinking about you guys even when I'm down there. But it's nice because, you know, we're down there for commissioning week. The Blue Angels fly in on Tuesday. And it's always great when the Blue Angels come to Annapolis because they let the whole city know that they're there. And when you have F-18s, usually 5 or 6 of them whipping around. And then if they bring the big C-130, you know, kind of just, hello, Annapolis, we're here. It's great to see. It's a great event if you've ever been down there. And then they'll do their practice on later Tuesday and then the show on Wednesday. And then they do the flyover at the beginning of graduation. A lot of people, when I first went to a graduation, you think it was at the end when they throw their hats in the air that the planes fly over. No, the planes fly over at the beginning of the graduation once it starts at 9 or 10 in the morning. I'm not even sure of the time. And then they head to wherever their next show is. Usually it's in New York, Jones Beach, or something like that. I don't know where they're going after this show. But it's a great week of events, the graduation ball where they wear their, you know, mess dress uniform. And I got to wear a suit and gowns, I guess. Oh, my wife will be wearing a gown. I don't fit in a gown. So we'll keep you updated on what's going on next week, but we're here all this week with you. It is 4:55 here at WILK. Let me tell you about the Good Feet store, located right here in Scranton on the corner of Route 6 and Commerce Boulevard, across from the Olive Garden. They're making it easier than ever to feel your best. You can say goodbye to foot pain and hello to personalized comfort with the Good Feet Arch Supports. There's no waiting. The arch supports are immediately available, and you can go in for your free test walk. Again, doing all the walking I did this weekend, I may not have been carrying boxes, but there was a lot of walking around and unpacking things and crouching down, sitting down, getting back up and such. I felt it in my legs. I felt it in my back. If it wasn't for my Good Feet Arch Supports, I think I'd be in a lot worse shape than I was. And believe me, last night was pretty bad. This morning was pretty bad. You could visit them at 1945 Commerce Boulevard in Scranton. Call them at 570-534-0980. Or check them out online at goodfeet.com, because you're not going anywhere without Good Feet. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's 4:57. I did you ask, and we shall get you the answers that you ask for. I did text Commissioner Chris Chermak on if there was a live stream involved with the town hall tonight. And again, it starts in the doors open in 3 minutes. He did text me back. Yes, ECTV will be streaming it on their YouTube channel starting at 5:30. As long as everything technically goes correct. I'd be one to question if there's technical difficulties, wouldn't you? I'd be like, interesting there's technical difficulties. But hopefully there's not. And ECTV will be streaming the event on their YouTube channel. So if you cannot make it to, and listen, I suggest you go to the town hall meeting. And again, and this is not a complaint session. You do that at a county commissioner's meeting where they're there, everyone involved with this debacle, and you let them know how you feel. This is to find answers to see if maybe you qualify for some sort of relief. Get some answers on how the process works. How do you appeal? They're going to have some great experts there. So I highly recommend you go. I'll probably be watching the replay on the ECTV myself, because I am just as much affected by this as you. And it's interesting that other counties are getting a lot more answers than we're getting. They're providing a lot more information, and yes, that information will be subject to change, but okay, we're all big boys and girls. Give us the information and write on it, subject to change, and we understand that. But by not giving the information when other counties are giving comparison properties that they used, other counties are giving an estimate of what their new tax is going to be because they have the formula already and they know what the estimate is going to be, pending appeals that will change, because, you know, if the appeals are won, then they have to change it for everybody because, it has to be revenue neutral as a total. But we can understand that. We're big boys and girls, and just give us the information and let us, to the best of our ability, prepare for this debacle called reassessment in Lackawanna County. But you do have that town hall meeting tonight. The doors are opening now, and it'll start at 5:30, so hurry up down there. It's 5 o'clock here at WILK. We'll be back.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.